Good morning. My name is Luca Boro. I'm working at the Blackland Research Center in Temple, Texas, that is part of the Texas A&M AgriLife Research. And today I'm going to present some result of an ongoing activity that aims to improve the simulation of soil water content and nitrogen dynamic in the EPIC model. We know that both soil water and nutrient dynamics are really important element of any agroecosystem. And if you want to correctly simulate the nitrogen dynamic and nitrogen balance, we need to correctly simulate the soil water content. And this is true especially when we have some specific situations such as anoxic condition that trigger the denitrification process. And some time ago, while we are trying to improve the simulation of the denitrification, we noticed that in some condition we were not able to obtain good result in the simulation of the denitrification. And it was because the model was not allowing the simulation of a soil water content above the field capacity and for a prolonged period of time. That are the situation that is required to have denitrification. So we developed and implemented the new percolation subroutine in EPIC. The main characteristic of this new subroutine is that it is based on the use of effective hydraulic conductivity instead of using the saturated hydraulic conductivity. And moreover, the effective hydraulic conductivity used in this new percolation method is dynamically updated in an iterative process that considers the variation of the soil water content in each soil layer. So we can see that the main objective of this activity is to improve the simulation of the soil water percolation in the EPIC model, but at the same time we want to see what's the effect of this new percolation subroutine on different process related to the nitrogen cycle. For the first step, so the results are currently under review. So here I'm going to talk mainly about the second step, so the assessment of the new percolation subroutine on the nitrogen dynamic. And for this activity, we are using a version of the EPIC model that includes some part of the new denitrification method that was recently developed by Cesar Izarralde and other scientists. We are using data collected in three different experimental stations, one in France, one in Australia, and one in Brazil. Here, because of the time, I'm going to present the results related to the site in France. And I'm going to do a comparison between several measured and simulated data. So moving to the result, here we have a comparison between measured and simulated crop yield. We are happy with the result of the model. As you can see, we have low p bias and root mean square error. We are still working to try to improve the simulation of the winter wheat yield in 2012, because at the moment the model is underestimating this yield. Now, in this slide we have several plots related to the soil temperature. So it's a comparison between measured and simulated soil temperature at different depths. In this plot and all the next plot, the red dots are referred to the observed data. The black line is referred to the simulated values. As you can see, the model is able to replicate the dynamic that was observed in the experimental field. We have, some problem. We are trying to understand what's going on around July 2011, because, as you can see, the model is constantly underestimating the soil temperature. So we are in contact with a scientist that is managing the experimental site and working together to try to understand what's going on in this period. But overall, we consider the result of the simulation for the simulation of the soil temperature excellent. In the same way, we compared also observed and simulated soil water content. Also in this case, the model was able to replicate the dynamic that was observed in the experimental field. We have some discrepancy between observed and simulated data. For instance, here is the arrow. If you look around July 2008, the model is underestimating the soil water content in the topsoil layers. And also around July 2011, so during the summer period, the model this time is constantly underestimating the soil water content for all the entire soil profile. And this underestimation is somehow reflected in some of the index that we have calculated. In fact, we have low or even negative value for NAC in the topsoil layer. But the most interesting thing that I would like to show you here is a comparison between the soil water content simulated using the new percolation method, that is the black line, and the light and the original EPIC percolation method that here is represented by the light blue line. And as you can easily see looking, for instance, at the plot referred to the 50-70 centimeter, with the original percolation method, the model was not able to simulate a soil water content above the field capacity. So it was leading to an underestimation of the soil water content, while with the new percolation method, the arrow is gone. With the new percolation method, you can see that the model is able to capture these soil water content. Now, moving to the nitrogen dynamic, we have compared observed and simulated data related to nitrate and ammonium content. In this plot, the arrows indicate the fertilization event. A blue arrow indicates an organic fertilization, a black one indicates a mineral fertilization. I want to start from the bottom of the the bottom of the soil profile. And definitely we are, in this case, we are overestimating the soil nitrate content. Again, we are trying to understand why we have such a big overestimation and why we are doing much better in the topsoil. In fact, for the first two layers, the model is able to replicate the dynamic that was observed in the experimental field. Like in this point, the model is capturing some spikes observed in the field, but we are underestimating the amount of nitrate measured in the soil during these spikes. And we have more or less the same result also for ammonium content in the soil. In fact, the model is able to give us values that are in the same range of the observed values for observed amount of NH4 in the soil. We are capturing some spikes that we have during the fertilization, but for instance, in the second layer, again, we are underestimating the amount of NH4 that was measured in the soil. So up to this point, overall, you look at your result and you are quite happy, you are optimistic, and then you see something like this and you are everything but happy. It seems that the model in this case is not capturing the soil N2O emission. We are working to understand, okay, what's going on? Because here, in this period, it seems that the model is not able to capture these two little spikes. Later, during the simulation, it seems that the simulated data are really close, or at least are in the range of the measured data, but it seems there is not any correlation between, or the timing is completely wrong. But then again, at the beginning of the simulation, it seems that the model is capturing that spike. We are heavily underestimating, but the timing is right. So we are start looking on this to understand what's going on. And one thing that I want to show you here is a comparison between the N2O emission and the simulation of the soil water content that we know heavily affect the N2O emission. And if we look at the period where we have the big N2O emission, the model is actually simulating underestimating the soil water content. So we are confident that if in the future we manage to improve the simulation of the soil water content, also the simulation of the N2O emission will be improved. And again, we are working constantly constantly. It seems that there is some problem in communication with France, but we are in contact with the scientists over there to improve this result. And moreover, to be honest, I want to say that for other sites, for instance in Australia, the result for the N2O emission are much better than this. But I decided to present, okay, the good and the bad of this simulation. Last slide with the result is again a comparison between the simulated N2 emission using the new percolation method and the original percolation method. You can see that in this case we don't have much, we don't have a large difference between the result obtained with the two percolation subroutine. With the new percolation method that give us a little bit higher N2 emission compared to the original method. So going to the conclusion, what's the message that I want to give you at the end of this presentation? Well, the first one is that for sure the new percolation model, percolation subroutine allows the model to simulate a soil water content that is above the field capacity for a longer period of time. And this is for sure an improvement if you want to use the model to simulate a soil water content in sites that are characterized by an high soil moisture. For a second part of our activity, that is, let's say, our actual ongoing activity, for sure we need to investigate more, and a bigger effort is required to improve the simulation of the N2 emission, considering both the timing and the amount of the N2 emission from the soil. There, we have room to improve also the simulation of the soil nitrogen content, and we would like to extend the study of the effect of this new percolation method, considering a wider range of weather, soil, cropping system, management. So obviously we are open to new collaboration with a scientist that has observed data. That we know that the observed data from the experimental field are really important for the model development. Thank you for your attention.
Speaker? Questions everybody's eager for the break. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.